Hey, how you doing? This is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 215 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, if you're a regular listener, you probably said, wow, I guess Alonzo quit the podcast. No, I didn't really. They say bad things comes in threes. I don't even know. I don't know what the proper grammar is. They say three bad things can happen. Well, I've had two that hit really hard in a personal life, and I'm not going to go into them. I'll just say I hope there isn't a third, and it's kept me busy. You know, a few things have kept me busy. My travel schedule over the past month. Now, you know my travel schedule's always crazy, but I was in Qatar, then came home to L.A., then had to go to New York, take care of something, then back to L.A., then Austin for Moon Tower, great comedy festival, then back home to L.A. to tape The New Negroes for Comedy Central. It's Baron Vaughn's new stand-up show. It was awesome. Then back to Dallas for a friend's wedding, which was the only really good news last month. So that's where I've been. I also moved, and you know that's a pain in the ass, particularly because I wasn't home to pack, so I hired a couple of people to pack. I have no idea what their logic was in packing. I will just say that I've been opening boxes for the last 3 weeks, and it's like Christmas, because you never know what's going to be in a box, or what's going to be shared in a box, or how two things ended up together. And the movers, well, now I told them there were a lot of stairs. It's basically three floors of stairs you got to walk up. And they were good for the first, I'd say, 75%. But then they got tired. And when they got tired, anything went anywhere. I have found a subwoofer in a guest bathroom. I found winter coats in the master bedroom closet. I found dishes in the garage. They basically just started dropping things wherever they wanted to. So, you know, it's a pain in the ass. And then you have the new house stuff, little things that go wrong, and dealing with handymen and contractors. And all. You've done it. If you haven't done it, you will do it if you're lucky enough to join the world of home ownership. It's a pain in the ass. But anyway, these are some of the things. I am sorry I've been lax on my podcast. This is why I'm not famous, because this should be the most important thing I do, right? The podcast should be number one every week, and I should be pushing it and have 100,000 listeners. Well, you guys are great for listening, and you listen to me ramble all by myself, and I know I'm supposed to have guests by now, and I haven't worked on that. So, bottom line, I appreciate you. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate your patience. A few people who listen, I know personally, and they know what I've been going through, and they've been really nice and said, listen, get back to work when you can get back to work. So here I am getting back to work. Now, there's been 15 news cycles since I last did this. There is no way for me to catch up on anything. So where do I start? I'm going to start let's start with shootings. Because this here is America, and I just left Texas, so shooting seems appropriate. Now, we know about the Tennessee Waffle House shooting. Now, this is, of course, you know, once again, a shooting done by a white man means that it was a mental health issue. It wasn't terrorism. He shot four people of color, but it had nothing to do with racism. And there was a hero. There was a good guy, and he was a good guy without a gun. And all kidding aside, this man is absolutely amazing, and he is humble, and he is being acknowledged by everyone except the president. But anyway, you know the story. James Shaw Jr. Grabbed the shooter, got shot. The bullet grazed him, but he was able to take the gun away, toss it, and stop the killing. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he started a GoFundMe and raised, you know, over $180,000, $190,000 for the families of the victims of the shooting. And he said that he will use his newfound, I'm not going to use the word fame, recognition, his recognition to aid positive causes and anti-gun issues, etc. And by the way, the shooter, his gun was taken away because he'd been arrested, detained as what he call himself, a citizen, a sovereign citizen, which is some insane shit that makes people think they're not subject to the laws of the United States. So he went to the White House and he called himself a sovereign citizen. And the Secret Service picked him up and they took away his guns. And somehow they gave them to his father and his father gave them back. So the system did work. The system did work to take the guns away, and then the system was bypassed to give the guns back. And he did what you do with an AR-15. You go out and you shoot people. You shoot a bunch of people. You shoot a bunch of innocent people who were working or eating at a fucking Waffle House. But nothing from the president. This guy won't be called a terrorist. Won't be called a racist. He just has some mental issues. Just a few mental problems, because, you know, he's not. Now, do we need to say if you reverse the colors on if a brown or black man shot four white people and was tackled by a white person and the gun was tossed away, be a national holiday? Pretty confident it'd be at the very least a national holiday. Parades and so forth. He probably just, you know, yeah, it's utterly ridiculous. So we have that. We have that story, which was a big story. The beauty is he is the James Shaw is being recognized by so many people, and including the Nashville Predators, the local hockey team. Everybody is honoring this man because this man's truly a hero. And he actually did what Trump lied about what he would do. He, unarmed, took a gun away from an armed man. That's incredible. So you can't say enough about him. And speaking of guns, and this one is just, well, speaking of pussies, the NRA is at it again. So the NRA is having their convention in Dallas, in Texas, okay, in I can carry a gun to a university, I can carry a gun to church, I can carry, as I always say, I can take my machine gun to the Chipotle, Texas. They are holding their national convention. They expect 80,000 or so attendees. Their main speaker will be Mike Pence. And guess what? They're not allowed to bring guns. Yeah, you can't bring guns. You can't bring guns where Mike Pence is going to be, right? Now, you would think that with 80,000 good guys carrying guns, Mike Pence would be fine. But no, the Secret Service said you can't bring guns. What's that? The government said you can't bring a gun to the room and the NRA is complying? Let's say that again. The government is telling NRA members they can't bring a gun and they have no problem with it. That's hilarious. That is hilarious. You could not, if you were in school, something they don't particularly like, and a teacher or a professor said, we need an example of hypocrisy. We need you to write. You couldn't write a better example of hypocrisy than this. You couldn't write a more ridiculous, funnier example of hypocrisy than this. An NRA convention has Mike Pence as the keynote speaker or big speaker or whatever, and the government tells them they can't take. You know what's going to be weird around Dallas during this convention? There's going to be cold, dead hands laying around on the ground all over, because you can take away their gun when you pry it from their cold, dead hands, right? So the government, I guess, is going to have people out there just freezing and killing hands, perhaps. That's how you do it. And then you pry the gun from their cold, dead hand because they can't, you know. Now, if you want to, you know, take a gun into the school, you want to, you know, to protect the good guy with a gun, or maybe even a Waffle Hut, You need a, that's fine, but eh, bitches. Unbelievable and yet not unbelievable, right? Just, you know, just business as usual. It's amazing. And speaking of whiny, while we're on the topic of whiny, let's talk about the White House correspondent dinner. That seems to be news. Michelle Wolf, brilliant comedian from The Daily Show, who will soon have a show, her own show on Netflix that's going to be watched because she killed it at the White House correspondent dinner. And oh, they are crying like bitches. They said that Michelle Wolf was vulgar and mean and, you know, basically everything that Donald Trump is on Twitter. Now, mind you, Donald Trump has called women fat pig. He's called out all of his opponents like Rubio and Cruz during the primaries and all the things he said about Hillary and the racist stuff he said about Mexicans and on, the Congress people he's insulted, the members of the press that he's called fake news and liars and blah, blah. Fine. No problem. Because, see, he's a president. But let a comedian make jokes about these people, and they are just crying like bitches. So, She went in on Sarah Huckabee Sanders, because Sarah Huckabee Sanders lies. And we all, see, this is the thing, we all know she lies. And she did a joke. I actually really like Sarah. I'm quoting her joke, and I'm doing it horribly. I think she's very resourceful. She burns facts and then uses the ash to create a perfect smoky eye. That is a makeup term. That is the smoky eye thing is a woman's makeup term. So the whiners took it as she's attacking Sarah's physical appearance. Now, she didn't call Sarah a fat pig. She didn't say Sarah was too ugly to grope. Where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, from the president. No, she made a joke about her using the ashes from burning the truth as eye makeup. She just... Michelle Wolf, mwah, 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 brilliant, funny, hilarious. Did she curse? Yeah, she cursed. So what? It's a room full of adults. And, you hired a comedian. A comedian spoke truth to power. She hurt their feelings, and the reporters should be ashamed of themselves. It's funny, these reporters who were offended, when Donald Trump, which he did the night of the correspondents' dinner, which he pussied out of showing up at again, but... when he says they're fake news, when he says CNN is fake news, when he says The Times is fake news, when he calls this reporter a liar or that reporter a liar, they're not hurt. They're not hurt. But let a comedian, let me say that again, a comedian, you hired a comedian to make fun of you at this dinner. That's what you hired her to do, and you're all whining like bitches. Michelle Wolf did an excellent job. Comedians speak truth to power. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The reason I have jesters tattooed on my body is because the jester was the only one who could speak the truth to the king. He had to make it funny or they chop his head off, but he could tell the truth. I am not putting myself in the class of Michelle Wolf. What she did was fantastic. She walked into the belly of the beast, and she made fun of both sides. Sure, she made more fun of the right wing, but there are more right wing people in power, and there are more right wing liars, and there are more right wing idiots. You know, idiot, like what the president's chief of staff called him, idiot. Anyway, cry. So now there's talk, well, they won't have another comedian at the White House correspondent dinner, or they may not have another correspondent dinner. I saw a Twitter post, I believe, that Peter Sagal from Wait Wait may host it next year. If he does, it'll be brilliant because Peter's brilliant and funny and sharp, and I wish him the best. I'd love for him to get the job. But if he doesn't, or if they never have a comedian again, Perhaps they'll just, what do they have? The diapers and the snowflake tears. And of course, everyone's showing the two right wingers who were at some Trump convention or event that, you know, said with T-shirts on that said, fuck your feelings. But see, that only applies if you're a person of color or a woman or an immigrant or, you know, say you're, I don't know, say you're Paralympic, you're a Paralympian, you're an athlete in the Paralympics. Donald Trump actually said to athletes of the Paralympics, that's the Olympics for people who may be physically handicapped, challenged, people who have lost limbs, et cetera, et cetera. The Paralympics are held right after the Olympics in whatever city. So he had the athletes there, and he actually said to the athletes, I watched you guys. Well, I watched as much as I could. You got, you know, it's hard to watch. Yeah, he said that to them. And of course, that's fine. That's, but, you know, make a joke. I'm not even going to continue with this insane whiny. And you know what? It's particularly, this is the other thing, right? So you had the liars. You had Huckabee Sanders and you had Spicer and you had some, you know, conservative asshole, whatever. But the people who should really be ashamed of themselves are the people from CNN and from Network News and from the Times. And because you didn't stand up for yourselves. You didn't stay. You sit there. You will listen to Sarah Huckabee Sanders lie to you and not question her. And then when a comic calls her out, you attack the comic. I believe there was a term in Game of Thrones. Oh, yeah. Shame. 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 Disgusting. Stupid. Weak. They just said shame, shame, shame. I added the rest. So, again, Michelle Wolf, I was a fan before. I'm a bigger fan now. And I hope your show on Netflix just explodes and you get the worldwide recognition. Because I haven't read comments from the rest of the world, but I have a feeling they were okay with this. The night of the correspondents' dinner, Trump opened his idiot racist speech with, are there any Hispanics here? He actually said that. Are there any Hispanics here? So that he could attack the immigrants who are walked through Mexico seeking asylum in the United States. He had to make sure there were none in the room because, you know, he's a pussy. Bill Cosby was convicted, and the question has come up. I was listening to some talk radio in the car this morning, and it was like, should he go to jail? Should he have to go to jail? He's 80 years old, et cetera, et cetera. My opinion, yeah, if the judge sentences him to jail, then he should have to go, and here's why. Because you had, this is just my opinion, okay, my reasoning. The Alabama church bombers who killed the four little girls 50 years ago, it took 50 years to convict the last one, and he went to jail, and he died in jail, as he should. It wasn't a matter of eight. Like, there's no, if there's no statute of limitation, and on this Cosby thing, the convictions came within the statute of limitations, then you don't get a pass because you're old. You gotta serve your punishment. Again, I'm not a judge, so I don't know what the law says, what the sentence is, if there's minimum. I'm not saying any of that, but I'm saying that if Bill Cosby is sentenced to jail, I think he should have to go. Now, it's saying something bad about America that a rich man has to go to jail. That is the black thing. See, there's a lot of people talking about, well, one more time, another black hero, another black person of prominence, another famous black man, whatever word you want to use, is being brought down. And that is true. And that's where Cosby's being treated differently. If he was white and rich as he is, he wouldn't have to go through this. Right, Harvey Weinstein? But being black, he does. But at the same time, he is guilty. So I can't, well, he's found guilty. So I can't dismiss that, you know what I mean, based on color. And based on the system being unfair. So how do I feel about it? Well, to me, as a comic, the shame is to destroy his comic legacy. His comic legacy is unparalleled. He did so much in the world of comedy. He made so many people laugh. He's helped, you know, tons of people through the United Negro College Fund, et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't erase a crime. That doesn't, if you're found guilty of a crime, then you have to suffer whatever punishment the law says. Now, is there hypocrisy in the system? Is the system broken? The system's absolutely broken. I was reading one more article about the opioid crisis, and it was about this woman in West Virginia who, you know, 19 years old, she got out of high school, starting her life, everything looked great, and then 3 years later, she's a prostitute on the streets, hooked on opioids, and what a crisis it is, and this, and now, I'm not attacking that woman. That woman's life is a crisis, and it's sad for her. But this is, again, the issue of race covers everything. Back in the 80s, if she was black, she'd have just been a crack whore. She'd have been a terrible crack whore, and she should be sent to jail and this and that. But now, because it's white people in West Virginia, it's a crisis. And it is a crisis, but it was a crisis in the 80s also. Now, with Bill Cosby, again, if Bill Cosby was a rich white man, no way this happens to him. Even if he is convicted, he wouldn't be going to jail or looking at jail or anything like that. But he's a rich black man, so he has to suffer the consequence of that. But again, he is guilty, so found guilty, so he's got to. And when I say found guilty, I don't mean that I think he didn't do it. I mean the legal's part. You know, you're found guilty. Like, whether you did it and whether you're found guilty can be two different things. In this case, he was found guilty. So when you're found guilty, you have to pay the penalty, which in this case may be jail. And again, I don't know how the legal system works, but I believe it's up to the judge whether or not the judge is going to sentence him. Then the question comes up of, does he stay out during his appeal? And of course, the argument is, well, his lawyers will appeal it for years. And, you know, hopefully he will, for them, the strategy would be that it would be the rest of his life. It would just be an appeal. I don't know how that works. I'm going to leave that to the lawyers. I'm not going to even pretend to be a lawyer or understand the legal system. What else have I missed? Oh, black people going to jail for hanging out in Starbucks. Now this, I'm laughing because this was the most outlandish, ridiculous bullshit you can imagine. And you know the story. Two black men were in Starbucks, apparently just loitering, because no one ever does that at Starbucks. And a white woman was scared in Philadelphia. So she called the police. And the police came and said, ooh, black people standing around. Well, might as well put them in jail. That's why brothers hang out in front of liquor stores, where it's safe. Ain't nobody going to put you in jail hanging out in front of liquor. This was so ridiculous. The only good thing was the CEO of Starbucks jumped on it right away because he knew, yeah, we done fucked up here. But there's talk of boycotts and all. I'm not with the boycott. I think black people should just, if you have free time, just go stand around in Starbucks. Let everyone get a little bit uncomfortable. So, yeah, I'm just here. What are you doing? Just being. I'm just being. I hate that it always comes back to the same old thing, but it does. At the same time, a black woman was denied entrance to a fucking Waffle House. Just literally, they locked the door and wouldn't let her in. Here's the thing. How far back are we going to go? Okay, so we went back. And when I talk about back, I mean just we're going back in time. So we've dealt with voter rights, you know, and they're undoing the voter rights act, and they figured out how to segregate schools again. Oh, there's a group of white people in the Upper West Side, and I love that these are the liberal, rich liberal white people who love to help the minorities until they tried to put the minorities in their kids' schools. Then they were screaming, it's bad. My child worked hard, and he may lose his spot and this and that. And the principal of the school, the principal gave a brilliant line when he said, you know, you're here complaining about children who have all the advantages not getting more advantages. And I find that offensive. Beautiful principal. Anyway, so we're dealing with segregating schools again. We're dealing with like I said, the collapse of the Voting Rights Act. But now you can't get coffee at the counter anymore. You can't go to the coffee shop. You get are we just going to go back to 1940? Are we going to have to find, I don't know, another first black baseball player? What the fuck? I don't know. I would say it's unbelievable, but it's really not. It's just where we're going. Trump, he's sitting up here taking credit for Korea. He wants a Nobel Peace Prize. Trade agreements that he's about to try to destroy the world's economy by talking tough on trade with China. And here's a problem when Donald Trump speaks, period, when he speaks. So Macron, the president of France, was here, and they're friends, or at least publicly they're friends. But when you see the two of them stand next to each other and they give a speech or answer a question, it's so obvious that one knows what he's talking about, has studied the issue, understands the nuance, and the other is just a blustering bullshit artist. It's embarrassing. It's comical. He knows nothing about trade. He knows nothing about the intricacies of the world's trade agreements. He doesn't understand how that works. People have told him time and time again, no, you can't just shut China off. There's American industries will die. You can't make everything in America. Like, we're not going to make magic out of coal. Okay, we're not going to make steel out of coal, wood coal anymore. We're not. It doesn't work. The price of everything will go through the roof. I was listening to an article today, and newscast today, and they were talking about, well, you know, since an iPhone is your communications and information device, maybe it should cost more than $600, because if it was made in the United States, it would cost a few thousand dollars, and on and on. But you know what? No. People aren't going to pay that. And you know who else isn't going to pay it? The corporations. The corporations are not going to pay that. The corporations are not going to bring labor back to the United States. Are you kidding? With the new tax cuts and all the stuff they get to do overseas and all the money they get to hide? What are you, stupid? So that's it. I'm not going to go blow by blow with the idiot. Wow, I am rambling on this podcast, trying to catch up. I read an interesting article. Richard Uhlein, and I'm guessing at the pronunciation, is a super rich shipping supplies magnet. That's what they call you when you're beyond rich. You're a magnet. M-A-G-N-A-T, magnet, from Illinois. And because of the Supreme Court decision that allows rich people to put as much money into any campaign as they want, he has become a superpower player in the GOP. And you know what he does? He gives money to congressional candidates before the primary, and he gives them millions of dollars, and he's in Illinois, and he pays all across the country. He's like the Koch brothers without the publicity. He is disrupting primaries. He's putting in the craziest right-wing person. He supported Roy Moore. He supports the ones who are the most anti-abortion, the most racist, et cetera, et cetera. And, okay, $55 million given to campaigns and groups over the past decade. $22 million just during the 2016 election. The point being that I didn't know who this guy was, and I'm betting you didn't know who this guy was. A few of you may have known. Michelle, you knew, because you know everything. Michelle listens to me up in Seattle, and the woman's brilliant. She knows who I'm talking about. But this is a guy who wants to fight unions. He's a big friend of Scott Walker and a big contributor to Scott Walker in Wisconsin and on and on. But the point being, this is a guy who bankrolls elections nationwide, and nobody knows who he is. And he's not the only one. Our system is so broken, it's for sale. I'm doing the Young Turks again. I love Cenk. I love doing the Young Turks. And they talk about this all the time. They talk about money and politics and corporate Democrats and so on. But, you know, you know my view on the corporate Democrats. They're bad. They're not as bad as the Republicans. If we have to elect a corporate Democrat and to get in the system and then change the system, I'm okay with that. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. But when you read stories like this, when you see people, and it's spelled UIHLEIN. Look this guy up and look how many elections he's bankrolled. And again, they start at the primary level. So if you have a candidate in a primary that you don't like, then you put a bunch of money in the more radical, because at the primary level, we don't know who either candidate is. You put a bunch of money in the more radical candidate's pocket. You get him the TV, him or her the TV ads and so on, because these elections at that level, it's name recognition. And the next thing you know, you've got another congressman or congresswoman or whatever who's owned and beholden to another rich businessman. Say, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm not caught up, but I appreciate you listening. Good news, we're in the NBA playoffs, and LeBron is still LeBron. Whooped Indiana's ass all by himself. I don't think he's going to make it to the finals this year, but I would never bet against LeBron. Speaking of betting, and this sucks for gamblers. If you don't know what a point spread is, how do I explain it really quick? So a team wins a game. I'll give you an example. Cleveland beat Indiana. The point spread was between 4 and 6 points, meaning that Cleveland had to win by 4 points or more to be considered a win. And if Indiana came with, if the win was less than that, then if you bet on Indiana, even though they lost the game, you would still win. Well, Victor Oladipo, the player for Indiana, shot a three-pointer at the end of the game after, you know, like the game's over. Nobody cares. He just put up the shot. It went in, and it caused everyone who had bet on Indiana to lose their bet. So it suddenly they didn't cover the spread. And, geez. So add an insult to injury. Wait, because millions of dollars swung. I'm not sure if the Cleveland people lost. The Cleveland people lost, right? Because they won, yeah, but they didn't cover the spread. That's right. So the Cleveland people lost. Just terrible. But anyway, you don't bet against LeBron. But it's fun to watch. The playoffs are a little more competitive this year. Baseball, it finally stopped snowing. Yeah, it stopped snowing because baseball starts the end of March and dead of winter. Speaking of which, winter didn't end until last week. Winter hung around all of April, kicking the country's ass. I don't know. No climate change, though. None of that science stuff. But that's all good news to me because I like sports. I'm going to be out here. I'm getting back to work. This weekend, I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Next week, it's back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And next Friday, the 11th, I'll be at the Westside Comedy Theater in Santa Monica and again at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. I'm going to be out there. Man, thank you so much. You guys hang with me. Thanks for your patience. Sorry I've been gone so long, but it's good to be back. I've got a podcast going out. Tell somebody about it. I really got to work on building the followers, et cetera. But you know what? I appreciate you for listening. Thanks for laughing. Thanks for being outraged. Thanks for being mad. And when Michelle Wolf's show comes out on Netflix, watch it. Download it. Even if you don't watch it, just download it so that they think you watched it. Michelle Wolf is it. Thanks. You're paying attention. I love you for it.